especially the shouting stuff, the shouting amen and stuff. We're kind of reserved for that. But we do have songs. We do have singing when everybody's making this joyful noise. Go ahead and sing out loud. John Gill had this to say about those words, those two words that are the same. Make his praise glorious. Let the high praises of him be in your mouth. Give him the most excellent praise. Praise him in the best manner. That is done when we sing his praise with grace in our hearts in exercise. When we with our mind and mouth glorify him, and when we honor him, the Son, as we honor the Father. That's pretty good stuff. We ought to just shout and sing and praise the honorable name of Jesus of our Lord. So as we're looking at this chapter then, we can actually break this chapter down. I read behind, and they divide it up into three sections, and it's a pretty good division. The first seven verses are the providence of power. Verses 8 through 12, which is where we're going to be looking at, the providence of discipline. And then verses 13 through 20, the providence of grace. And so those different places. And we ought to have praise in our mouth, and we ought to have singing. I skipped this, but I need to say this. The songwriter stated it this way: in everything, give him thanks. Give him thanks. In everything, give him thanks. In the good times, praise his name. In the bad times, do the same. In everything, give the King of Kings all the thanks. That's pretty good stuff. But anyway, so that's how the chapter is broken down: the providence of power, the providence of discipline, and the providence of grace. So the chapter then begins with thanking and shouting and crying out to the Lord. But in the middle, God tells us how he forms us, how he shapes us, how he fashions us over time so that we'll be this shouting, singing Christian. Now, we like the shouting and singing part. We like that part. Not so much about the process God puts us through to make us usable, to make us useful, to make us fit for service. Brother Vineyard, then president of the Oklahoma Baptist College, I've heard him say this a number of times, he stated he strove to produce a product, a result, a way of life for his graduates. So he always tried to instill in them a certain character in their lives so that they would, when they left, they would represent the college well. He said as the years went by, people's character was less and less and less. And so the rules that he had to inflict on his students became more and more, gradually more and more. He had to work at it harder to put out the exact same product he'd been putting out for years. Well, God works on us. He molds us and he patterns us. He wants us to turn out a certain way and to make us turn out that way. He sometimes puts us through some things. In fact, God tells us exactly what he'd like us to turn out like. In Romans 8:28, some of the favorite verses of folks, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. But verse 29 goes on and says, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate. Why or what for? To be conformed to the image of his Son. What God's trying to do is he's trying to conform us, he's trying to form us, he's trying to mold us into the image of his Son. That word conformed, it means having the same form as another, similar, conformed to. Another verse, a familiar verse that has that same word in it, Philippians 3:10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Well, that's the mountaintop. That's good. But then it goes on and says, and the fellowship of his sufferings, the valleys, the fellowship of his sufferings being made conformable unto his death. God has a way of conforming us, developing us, building us, and it's not always pleasant. It's not always enjoyable. I never thought it was enjoyable when my father had me bend down and reach my ankles and we'd play this thing going around in circles. I never enjoyed that much. But you know what? It turned out a pretty decent product. I'm thinking that needs to be done a lot more today. We probably turn out better products than we have in society today. We don't need Dr. Spock. We need Dr. Spank, as someone has said. But anyway, God has a way of conforming us and developing us and building us into what He wants us to be more like Jesus. And one of those ways He does it is He puts us through these trials. And that's what Psalm 66 is talking about. It starts off with the praise and the singing. We love that, but it gets down to verse 8 or so. It says, "Oh, bless our God, ye people, and make the voice of His praise to be heard, which holdeth our soul in life." I like the way it says that. "Which holdeth our soul in life." It means that we're held alive here on the earth. We're kept in the place of people living. "So which holdeth our soul in life, and suffereth or permitteth not our foot to be moved." He said from the basis of being alive, God takes care of us so we don't trip up along the way. But then He goes on and says, "For Thou, O God, hast proved us. Thou hast tried us as silver is tried." You know, the crucible thing, heating it up, putting it under extreme pressure. "Thou broughtest us into the net." I mean, that's something that you catch things with. God has caught us in His net. He's caught us so that He can, we're His to do. You know, when you catch an animal, you catch an animal, do something with that animal. Somebody needs to catch an animal in their attic, I understand. "So Thou broughtest us into the net. Thou laidst affliction upon our loins. Thou hast caused men to ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water." Now, to me, that doesn't sound like good stuff. That sounds like bad stuff. And God sometimes does that to mold us into what He wants us to be. Now, if you want to break down the chapter or these few verses we're looking at, first off, praise to God, that's verses 8 and 9. Second off, the process of God, that's verses 10 through the middle part of verse 12. And then the product of God, that's the last part of verse 12. So you got the idea about Psalm 66. It starts off with praising God, but then He goes through and starts showing us that He sometimes makes us go through some things so that He can have the glory and we can be conformed to the image of His Son. All right. Back in the 5th of July, we were up in Virginia at the time. I started having some stomach issues, bad stomach issues. I stopped eating. But Bob talked about eating this morning, how much he liked to eat. I do too. You can tell from me just like you can from him. I love to eat. But when I was there, I stopped eating. On the 5th of July, so remember that, the 5th of July, I stopped eating. We flew back from Virginia on the 7th. I called in sick on the 8th because my stomach was still giving me a rough time. On the 9th, I tried to go to work. In fact, I worked in Kerrville, drove all the way to Kerrville, still just really sick. I left early, went back, and went to the ER. I went to the ER. That was my first ER visit. They thought it was just stomach issues. They gave me stuff for my stomach and sent me home. On the 10th, I called in sick again. I still wasn't there. I was having a rough time. On the 12th, that'd be that Sunday, I scheduled a preaching Corpus. I knew the preacher was going to be out of town, so he expected me there. I was sick as a dog. I wasn't feeling good. Talked to my wife about it, how bad it was. It was pretty bad. But you know what? I said I was going to be there, so we drove down to Corpus on the 11th, and I don't know how it happened, but I sang and preached both services. I was certain that the preacher was counting on me, so I went. Arrangements were made for dinner. We did not go. I curled up on a pew for the afternoon and just slept. And again, I still hadn't been eating. I hadn't ate anything. This was the 12th. From the 7th to the 12th, I hadn't ate anything because I just couldn't eat anything. It wouldn't stay down. And when it did go down, it just felt awful. My stomach was in a knots. So we're up to the 12th. The 13th, that had been that Monday. That was the second ER visit. I couldn't breathe. I don't know how I preached and how I sang. I believe it was God. I believe it. I told wife, I went to the ER Thursday. They didn't test me for COVID. They probably should have. They did not. I didn't know what I had. I just know I was sick. But I wasn't sick enough to not preach. I mean, I'll go. I told my wife, as long as there's nothing keeping us to going, if they told me I had COVID on the Thursday, I wouldn't have went. But they didn't. So I didn't think there's anything stopping me. So we went. And hopefully they'll have me back sometime when I'm feeling a little better. But so the 13th was the second ER visit. I was, when I went in, I could not breathe. Now, this won't mean anything to you. And in census barometer, most of you, won't mean much. The highest I could get was 250. Now, today I get it around 2,250. But those days I couldn't get it above 250. I was just coughing and just couldn't breathe. I mean, I thought I was dying. I literally thought I was dying. I thought it was the end. They did a CT. It was the strangest thing I've ever seen. COVID. They got COVID, so they had a police escort. They escorted me all the way into the CT area. They put me on the CT thing, did the CT, put me right back, police escort, out to the elevators, up to the floor, in my room, and I couldn't leave that room. A few days later, I tried to leave the room, go walk a little bit. So what do you do now? Get back in your room. I mean, you know. And the people out there looked like they were in space. I mean, they had all these get-up that they had on to keep themselves from getting what I had. I ended up with COVID pneumonia with infiltrates all over my lungs. It was horrible. One of my friends, I was showing it to him at work, what it said, and they said, "Oh, you don't never want to see that on your test." Yeah, well, what you gonna do? So ended up on oxygen for several days. I was admitted to the hospital. When they asked me, "Do you want to be admitted to the hospital?" I said, "Well, not really, not unless I just have to. I really don't want to stay in the hospital." I later found out my wife told me that wasn't my choice. Because she said she wasn't taking me home. If they thought I should stay in the hospital, I'd have to walk home. Because she wasn't taking me. So it wasn't such a choice, so much of a choice as I thought it might have been. But I really was very, very sick. I really did think I was going to die. When I was in the hospital, they gave me steroids and antibiotics and the antiviral, that remdesivir. You might have heard that on the news sometimes. I've got somebody else's plasma running around in me. I never thought I'd have anybody else's blood products in my body, but I do now. Someone that had COVID before me, and they have antibodies in those, in the plasma, and they gave that to me so it'd fight off the COVID that was inside me. They give you anticoagulant shots. They give me shots in the stomach. Really? You got to do it in the stomach? But one of the things with COVID is your clotting factors get all messed up and your blood clots too easily, and so they got to give you those type things. And I was on oxygen for the next 4 days. I began eating around the fourth day. So that means I didn't eat from the 5th to the 17th. That's almost 2 weeks. Think about how sick you got to be to not eat for 2 weeks. That's how sick I was. By the way, when I finally did start eating again, man, food was good. It tasted good. I ate a lot of fruit. During those times, I don't like fruit much, but I ate a lot of fruit in those days. I failed the walk of life twice. What they do is day five, they walk. I was doing okay with off the oxygen, but I'd walk one time around the floor, and the oxygen go down way too low. So they said, "Nope, can't go home if you need oxygen." So the day six, they walked me again, right down again. The seventh day, I was ready to go home. I was getting sick of the hospital. So on the seventh day, I said, "Guys, we are walking slow. I mean real slow. Because we're going to make sure our oxygen stays up today. We ain't walking fast. The other 2 days, I'm, let's go, yeah. The seventh day, I was like, "Oh, no, we're walking slow. So we can get out of here." It was slowed down. I finally was able to be discharged on the 20th after the week in that wretched place. Actually, the food was really good. The dietitian came up and asked me what I wanted. They gave me exactly what I wanted. I didn't eat it for the first few days, but I did finally and eventually eat. After I was sent home, the nurse called twice every day. The doctor called once every day for about the next week. I didn't return to work till September 3rd. It was a long, I think it was August. No, it was September. September 3rd. It took a long time for me to get out and off of this stuff. By the way, this past week, yesterday, I was singing, practicing for this morning. I was singing several songs. I can finally hit the high notes. It's the first time I've been able to do that since I've been out. So I'm finally about back to where I need to be. So what lessons can we learn from this COVID experience? First off, anybody ever listen to Bill Cosby and his thing about the Ark, Noah's Ark? You know, and, you know, Noah's arguing with God. You sure? I mean, you know, all this stuff and everything. All of a sudden, just whoosh, you hear the lightning and everything. So, okay, just you and me, God, right? Just you and me. We best buds, right? That's where I was, just you and me, God. Prayer and reading His Word. I spent a lot of time in the hospital praying and reading His Word, just you and me. God puts us on our back, and the only way we can look is up. And that's where we were. We've got a lot of people with COVID in here, the few people that got COVID here. Maybe God's trying to get their attention and help them. And I think that's what God does. He helps us. He puts us through some things to help us. So just you and me, God. Second off, our helplessness. We are not in charge. Not even close. The fragility of life. I mean, the fragileness of life. As Brother Coral made mention of when he was here, you go 8 minutes without oxygen, you die. You go 3 to 5 days without water, you die. You go several weeks without food, you die. I mean, this life is very fragile. And and at any moment of any day, we can contract COVID or some type of influenza or any other kind of bug that comes along. We could contract that and cause issues for us. We go around thinking, yeah, we're healthy and we're doing real good. God must be up there going, they don't even know. They don't know what's coming. Now, you've not had it, and hopefully you don't end up getting it. Praise the Lord. Good for you. But you ought to be prepared in case that comes, because it may. You ought to take precautions and use common sense. But at the end of the day, it's in God's hands. It's in God's hands. Next thing I'd say is patience. Especially, I think maybe God put me through that. One reason is to give others comfort. Because we've had a number of people over the last month or so that's got it. Well, my wife and I were first. And then these others have come. May I say this? You got to have patience, because recovery, even if it's a mild case, recovery is slow. I mean, S-L-O-W. People would ask me all the time, how you doing? Progressing. And I was. But it was irritating, frustratingly slow. Recovery is slow. Even those that have it mildly, it's going to take some time. Again, it was 3 months before I got my full voice back. So it takes a long time to get back from COVID. Next thing I say is I learned to appreciate family, especially my wife. When I was in the hospital, people were trying to call me and people trying to text me and all kind of stuff. I funneled everything, all communications, all texting, all calls through her. I don't want to hear nothing. I'm sick. I don't want to talk to anybody. Again, I told you I didn't really want to be admitted, but it wasn't my choice. She wasn't going to take me home, so I had to stay in the hospital. I could not have had all the treatment and the prescriptions that they ended up giving me at home. At home. I had to be there. Again, we told you antibiotics, antiviral, steroids. Among other things, I was severely dehydrated when I got there the first day. They gave me 2 or 3 bags of fluid that first few hours and several bags of fluids over the next few days just to get my fluids back to anywhere close to normal. But I learned to appreciate her so much, appreciate family so much. And then lastly, time of vows. The next verse after our section, verse 13, says, I will go into thy house with burnt offerings. I will pay thee my vows. If you ever go through anything quite like this, you're probably going to make some vows with God. I'm going to make some promises. When you do make those promises, it's going to be time for you to pay up. It's going to be time for you to pay. If you're not going to follow through, just don't make the promises in the first place. Don't make them in the first place. Ecclesiastes 5:4 says, when thou vowest to vow unto God, defer not to pay it. For he hath no pleasure in fools. Pay that which thou hast vowed. So from a wounded plight to a wealthy place, God brought us through, and praise the Lord, we're about back to normal now. As far as I can tell, we're back to just, whether that's good or bad. Sometimes that's really good, sometimes not so much. But I'm back to my normal self. But it was a time. Now, if we are saved, if we're redeemed, if we're sanctified by the blood of Jesus, the worst that can happen to us is we die and get to go to heaven. But realize along the way, God's going to try you. He's going to mold you. He's going to make you. And it may be unpleasant at the time, but God does know best. From a song I quoted in Sunday school, troubled times and charted waters, a storm is moving in. Fear has stolen my heart where peace once had been. You're the Savior of the hurting. To the disheartened, you are near. Lord, show me the reason I am here. Then a still, small voice whispers in my ear. I calmed the raging waters, and I caused the blind to see. There will never be a mountain impossible for me. By faith, keep on believing. I'll be sure to do my part. For when you cannot trace my hands, child, trust my heart. That's really a good thing to go by. As I mentioned this morning, Brother Nicholas's office says, we might not be able to trace God, but we can always trust Him. We can always trust Him. If you're unsaved, if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, you ought to come tonight. And we can show you from the Bible how you can know for sure that you're going to heaven before you leave tonight. Brother Bach, why don't you come and do the invitation? I hope you can get that. From a wounded plight to a wealthy place, God took me through the COVID, but He brought me out the other side. And praise the Lord, I'm pretty much back to normal. God did all that. And we could all learn some lessons from that.